Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Coin Geek Weekly live stream. I'm your host, a man in a yellow shirt, Kurt Wooker Jr. So I don't want to overhype anything, but I'm pretty excited about today's interview. And I'm always, I love doing the show for the record. I enjoy my weekly streams. I really like almost everybody that I interview. At the very least, I kind of like everybody that I interview. Mostly because it's my show and I do what I want, but occasionally I like to do the debate sort of format and stuff too. But ultimately, I really love what I do here, and so every week I'm pretty excited to get on the show. But this week, there's a lot of interesting stuff going on. So we just hit a new world record blockchain. There has never been a blockchain that has done over 100 million transactions in a day, and we did 109 million transactions over the last 24 hours. In no small part due to collaboration between various teams that are operating between Tal and Gorillapool and guys like David Case and James Marchant working Enchain, the record product, and all this other stuff. There's a lot of moving parts, a lot of really interesting stuff going on. So we've busted a new record. I'm really proud of everybody involved. And a lot of really cool stuff going on. And I've always said that if we don't get to business and if we don't solve real world problems and if we don't actually want to do anything that disrupts real industry, then we're all going to fade into a niche. Like Bitcoin works like a ticking time bomb. You have a 4-year schedule that reminds you, hey, you need to get your act together. You need to make the value go up. You need to make the volume go up. You need to grow your economy or Bitcoin will punish you. And very few people, at least traditionally, have focused on any of that. They really like the gambling opportunities, the bucket shops. And then there's a bunch of really cool stuff going on, too. I really like the kind of the NFT craze for what it could be and for what it represents. But then it sticks to nothing but JPEG trading for 3-4 years. And it's like, okay, guys, it's cool proof of concept. But let's turn it up a notch and do some real business here. And my guest today is a guy who seems to believe that fully. Most people are trying like heck to stay anonymous, like create a decentralized exchange so they can pump illegal securities after things. And, you know, this guy's all about, hey, here's who I am. Here's my business history. Here's everything I believe in. And by the way, I want to issue real security tokens on the blockchain in the public as a business. And so I'm really excited for everybody to meet our guest who will be on in a few moments here. But before we do that, if you could like, subscribe, hit the alert bell, and share this across social media, let them know that at 2:30, so that's in 26 and a half minutes, we're going to have an announcement. And the announcement's going to be pretty interesting news, pretty big stuff, something people have been asking for quite some time in the BSV space, and also a bunch of other goodies. So we're going to cut to a commercial, pay some bills with some advertising dollars, and we will be back with Garrett Kraus.
This is buybsv.com, the quick and simple way to buy Bitcoin SV. You can't miss it. It says a quick and simple way to buy BSV on buybsv.com. It's safe and secure. Within an hour, you'll own BSV digital assets, which means it's so quick and simple. So if you want to buy BSV, use buybsv.com. It does exactly what it says.
What's up, Garrett?
How are you doing?
I'm quite well. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, great. So, I've been telling people for a long time, Florida is going to be the people leading the way here in the BSV ecosystem. And you yourself are a South Florida gentleman. So you're making me look good. My predictions are already going really well with you joining the economy here.
Yeah, I love it. I love being in South Florida, and the ecosystem down here is quite remarkable.
Absolutely. So, Garrett, a lot of people watching the show are not going to know who you are. You're not, a classic guy from the Bitcoin Talk forums. You're not a famous hacker or anything like that. So you're a guy from a little bit outside of that universe and a traditional man from business, finance. You've got a pretty impressive resume. Please give us the 2-minute version. Who is Garrett Kraus?
You're right. I'm not a crypto guy. I like playing a little bit in cryptos, but I'm not a crypto guy. I'm not a programmer. I'm not a software guy. I'm a real world businessman. I focus in mining, commodities trading. I was in software back 30 years ago, 25 years ago when I got started, but I'm oil and gas, mining, real world assets, real estate development. real world stuff that, you know, which is my era prior to Bitcoin and blockchain. That was my era. That's how we had to do it. And I'm a securities guy. I've lived with the securities laws my whole life. We've raised money under the securities laws. So real world securities laws, securities background, and building real world companies.
Yeah. Amen to that. The kind of guy we need, the kind of guy that fans of my work for the last 5 or 6 years will recall that I've been saying, hey, we need some real businessmen here. We got plenty of programmers. We got lots of big idea people. When can we get some guys in here who are really good at building businesses? And so it's good to know you, and glad you're here. So let's talk a little bit. There was an announcement last week. You and Tokenized, you've got this Troy Gold product and some of these things going on here. Can we talk a little bit about, first, maybe your background in the precious metals industry and why this? And then let's talk specifically about the Troy Gold product.
So I run a mining company in West Africa. We mine bauxite, which is the raw ingredient to aluminum. We have iron ore concessions. We mine and produce and export gold on a weekly basis to refineries in Dubai. So I'm a very experienced commodities trader and producer and miner. And so I had, with that business, I had the infrastructure of Brinks and access to the COMEX and access to the spot gold markets, direct access and the infrastructure. So, and I was for 5-6 years now, I've been toying with blockchain. And we tokenized one of our bauxite mines on Ethereum back in 2017. We were one of the early securities tokens. So I really am intrigued by the technology of the blockchain, not so much of the crypto part of it, but I really dove into the security tokens. But it's been a 6-year kind of wait for that industry to actually even develop into anything. So early pioneer in that, but basically it's been a 6-year waiting game. And now it seems like security tokens and tokenizing real world assets, that seems to be the big thing. And so I've kind of dove back into that industry and connected up with Tokenized and James and the BSV blockchain to see what we can develop.
Well, and that's incredible. The mining industry, I've been in Bitcoin mining for 10 years and I always thought I was pretty cool. Then I started meeting people that actually work in the mineral mining industry and, you know, oh yeah, I've got this thing in Greenland, or I've got this thing in Sierra Leone, or I've got this thing in South Africa, you know, and you hear their stories and how they got into it and what that actual process is like. And I was like, man, I thought I was a cowboy, and they're like, holy cow, are there some stories about making the precious mineral mining industry function. So kudos to you. That's really cool business, frankly. I just think it's such an amazing amount of logistics, and then so much history there too, talking about, you know, some of these spot exchanges are 400 or 500 years old, and maybe there's some that are significantly older even. So if we're talking about like London Metal Exchange or something like that, how much liquidity and volume are we talking about? Is it bigger than Forex? Is it smaller? Like what are we talking about there?
Well, on a global basis, gold is the second most liquid commodity in the world, traded next to oil. So if you go down the periodic table and you look at all your different commodities and all your different metals, and gold is 2 behind oil. And between oil and gold, there's such a developed market for hundreds and hundreds of years with all of the hedging and exchanges that makes them kind of stable. Even if there is an anomaly in the market, the market makes up for it, and that's why gold is always pretty stable.
Yeah,
you never have to worry about waking up one morning and gold is price, but it will never go up to double the price because there's so much structure in there that it just makes it for a stable currency. And you know, as throughout history, gold is money, always has been money, even off the standard. I think it will always be money.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, funnily enough, it's always been like this concept of the gold standard. Like these are these ubiquitous terms that we use in our lives because of that. And really, since the beginning of Bitcoin, if we go back, I've been a Bitcoiner for over 10 years now. And as long as I've been involved, there's been people saying, we really should tokenize gold on a blockchain. And, you know, there's been a lot of you know, half decent attempts, too. We've had, everybody's favorite company, Tether, has even issued a gold product. Or you have like Pax, Paxos is the company, and probably a dozen others, frankly. But they always sort of seem to come out a little bit half-baked. Like nobody's really sure what to do with it. And I think part of it is that you're on like some bucket shop exchange and trying to decide, okay, what am I doing with it? Like you're literally just trading it for BTC, Tether, you know, some other thing. And so everybody's just sort of thinking of it as a, just another asset to trade, but it's not as fun as trading, low cap crypto, because like you said, it's never going to go up 200% in a year. It's just not going to happen at this point. And so it's interesting. What makes Troy Gold, your specific gold product, what's the difference here? Like what makes it different than say something like Tether Gold, for example? Why should people be excited about that product?
You can actually use it as money. Anything on the Ethereum chain or all these other, they're good gold backed coins, and I don't have any Paxos. I own some of them in the past. The problem is the chain. And it's not scalable. It's never going to be able to do micropayments. You can actually not go buy a cup of coffee with it. So it's the BSV blockchain and the power of the blockchain and the right token protocol that can actually take gold past just being a token of gold-backed store of value to something that you can actually hold and spend and use actually as money. And that's kind of what our product is. We're not, we're not going to try and compete with Paxos or Tether or whatever. They're going to be on their chains and they're going to do what they do. But our process is more actually make it spendable, make it usable, make it transferable so that it can cross state lines. And it's not anonymous hiding money. It's actual real use case in the ecosystem where somebody can actually exit the US dollar. The biggest problem with the world right now is fiat, not just the US dollar, but fiat's a depreciating asset every year. And even if you get 6%, 5%, 6% with the bond rates right now, treasuries, the inflation rate is higher, so it's still losing value. And so if you look at 50 years of the US dollar since 1970, it's gone down 98%. And most other fiat currencies have dropped as much. The purchasing power. The dollar is still a dollar, but what you can buy with it is way down. So
yeah,
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I can't remember who said it, but it might have been like Peter Schiff or somebody basically talking about, two gold coins you could always buy a good suit with for the last 200 or 300 years or something. If you went to London and said, hey, I want a nice tailored suit, the cost of it would be 2 gold coins of a certain size. And that's been a consistent thing since like the beginning of industrial capitalism, basically. But the fiat value has gone from maybe it was a 50-pound suit 100 years ago, and now it's $1,000 to start to get a decent tailored wool suit. So, it's a really good point. Let's cut to a couple of questions. And then I have my own couple of, because I was actually having breakfast this morning and talking about like gold at point of sale. And so the guy I was with was talking about, hey, how do we get Bitcoin? And I said, actually, let's talk Troy Gold at point of sale. But question here from Brandon Ward. Garrett, what are your thoughts on regulation when it comes to Bitcoin as a security?
Well, it's funny because everybody asked me, why am I developing on BSV? I didn't really know much about BSV till about 6 months ago, maybe even 5 months ago, because I always assumed as a non-crypto guy that you could never build anything on Bitcoin. I didn't even understand the forks and the BSV and the BTC and I didn't understand any of that until I really dug in. So, to most people out there, they get pushed to Ethereum, they get pushed to a layer 2 chain, they get pushed on that side. But once I realized BSV, and then recently all the tokens that finance the startups of all those other chains have been deemed securities, that becomes the big risk factor disclosure for people building on Ethereum or building real world applications on Ethereum, because you never know what's going to happen to that chain when you're fighting against the US government.
Yeah, good point. Very, very few people fight the US government and feel like it was worth their time. So
Bitcoin being a commodity, deemed a commodity, always has been a commodity. There was no money raised to finance Bitcoin or BSV or BEAST, any of that. So it's a true commodity that has already, got its day in court, or it's already been set in stone. So we don't have to worry about that, right? We just have to worry about the scalability, the performance of BSV as a chain, and the performance of the protocols like tokenized that are being used on BSV, so that people like me, real world issuers, can actually build something that provide a positive to what we're doing in the real world.
Yeah. So one of the things that stood out to me, we'll get back to questions. I definitely want to spend the second half of the show on questions too, Alex Moon. So my question is I think the problem in retail, the problem with Bitcoin as a payment system, is it's not just one thing, right? Because it's not cash in the sense that, you know, somebody can just say, hey, we accept Monopoly money here at the coffee shop, right? There's more infrastructure involved in that. You have your accounting software, you have your point of sale, like the swipe, you have your gateway, you have your merchant account, you have your bank. So there's all these people in the middle. And Bitcoin was invented specifically to disrupt all that. But I think the problem, and maybe even the problem that Satoshi Nakamoto didn't think of, is you kind of need it all to happen at once. You can't really just replace one thing and then replace another. You really kind of need the whole stack to change. Not necessarily at once, but you need to have every bit of it there, and you need to have a very specific rollout plan. And then, but who does it, right? Like, because there is no business development department to Bitcoin. Right. And so my question for you is, I love the idea of gold. I love the idea of like splitting a check with my friends in tokenized gold and all of that kind of stuff. Your, you know, garage sales, micro commerce, all of that kind of thing, I think is easy. Maybe I start a fruit stand and sell coconuts at the, you know, Saturday morning, and that's what I do with my life. But how do I make it that I can go to Starbucks or McDonald's or any of these things? How many things need to be in place for me to pay to get a Big Mac with tokenized gold? Is that something you've thought through? Do you have your own plan for that?
Yeah, so it's actually not very complex. You still need stable coins. You still need a way to get the gold back to a currency in any country that the vendor needs to pay his bills. So if a vendor chooses to accept gold, I got a use case down here in Florida. The first vendor that's going to use Troy Gold to accept gold for people that want to pay to get a Manny Penny at the salon. So nice. She's one of my good friends and an investor in some of my projects. And she goes, I'll take gold. I will have my iPad up there and people can pay in Troy money. And I'll take the gold. And then I can now, if I accept the gold as a money, outside of accepting $20 or $100 for the Manny Petty, if I accept $100 worth of gold, now my choice as the owner of that gold, now I can choose to hold the gold. Mm-hmm. In Troy Money app, I can choose to redeem the gold, and you'll get your cash into your bank faster than American Express or Visa will put it into your bank. So it's not that complicated of a process when you have all the elements. So the vendors, they can accept their gold as money. It has a value. It has a value every hour of every day. And then the next day, they can turn it into any fiat they want, if they need fiat, or keep the gold and hold it as it's their money. So there is a way here, there is a path to make gold actual money, so you do not actually even have to have fiat, take a US dollar. You can actually buy a cup of coffee. Most other chains will never be able to do that because the transaction cost for a $5 or $10 cup of coffee is $5 in gas fees.
Right. Yeah.
He eliminates that and allows gold to actually be used, you know, as a form of payment.
No, for sure. And that makes, you know, I've been telling everybody for years now that if blockchains are a good idea and tokens are a good idea, then the most scalable one should be the best idea, because ultimately it's not about what can you make your coin value. It's about what can you build on the network and with your system. You know, the internet isn't valuable because it's slow and expensive to use. It's valuable because it reduces friction from our business.
I'm not building Troy Money for the crypto people. I'm building it for people like me, people I know that just want to use, that want to own gold. They want to spend gold. They don't want to have to hold USD or fiat in cash. And they want to have a instant access to liquidity at any time, which our system allows, spot sure. price anytime. And then we have another feature, which is kind of cool that nobody else offers, is you get an automatic equity line of credit against your gold up to 80%. So in case of an emergency, if you're sitting on $100,000 worth of gold and Troy Money in your account, and you have an emergency and you need 50 grand, the next day you'll have a loan for 50 grand at HELOC type rates. Mm. So you can keep your gold as its appreciating asset, and you can borrow money at a rate a lot less and solve your real world problems with an actual fiat payout.
It's incredible. So I've been a Peter Schiff fan for years. I was really honored to have him on my show. I think it was late last year. And then we had him, I met him in London and he came on the show, and he's such a, I don't know if cynic is exactly the right word, but he's getting close. And, you know, what for the technology and what Bitcoin's capable of and things. And I finally got him to admit that a tokenized gold product that actually works on blockchain is actually valuable. Like, he's otherwise very skeptical about any of it being valuable at all. But we made a sort of a digital handshake agreement that if we could get tokenized gold on the blockchain, he will take another very close look at it. So I'm grateful that you're giving me the opportunity to reach back out and say, hey, Peter, remember last time we spoke? And I think he's going to be quite impressed. And I think there's been a lot of people that are very interested in what else you're up to here. We're about 7 minutes from the 2:30 mark, which is when I think the big news is supposed to break here.
You get to break it. You're the man.
I love it. No, this is killer stuff. I'm very excited about what's going on, about the news, especially in context of just everything else going on in the universe. How did you come at it? You know, just talking about some of these things, you come across as your typical, well, maybe not typical, but you come across as kind of your gold bug libertarian, you know, your position on fiat currency. It's actually the thing that got me into Bitcoin. I was a gold advocate, a little bit like, hey, separate yourself from the fiat economy before Bitcoin. This is why Bitcoin stood out to me as another potentially good idea. Do you have roots in sort of that, a little bit of advocacy and stuff too?
Well, I come from Canada. So in Canada, we're into resources, oil and gas, timber, real assets, farming, yeah, land, real estate. You know, those are things that I've been born and raised with my yeah. whole life. And for 38 years in business, this has been my, you know, real world stuff. And so, you know, gold, I didn't start out to make Troy money when I started this. I started out to help my friends manually. I was helping them move to gold because they were scared after the Silicon Valley Bank collapse and the other bank. They were scared to have dollars in the bank. So they were like, Garrett, help me with gold. So then I started like moving it into, and then after I met James and we started talking, we realized the power of BSV could take it another level. And going back to your last comment, I'm a very big Peter Schiff fan. I'm a very big gold fan. So and his speech at the blockchain conference, it kind of hit all the points that we had been working on. And so everything has kind of come together. So real world assets are my game. Crypto, okay, I love to trade it. I love to get on the right side of the FOMO. I missed the Bitcoin run. I have 10 Bitcoin at $500 and I still have 10. So I like it, but I don't see an intrinsic value to it unless the chain behind it has upside value. And that's why I'm buying some BSV right now. Only because I believe in, if I'm building on the BSV chain, then the whole world should build on the BSV chain. Aside of crypto people building their great crypto products, I mean real world solutions being solved on BSV.
Yeah, for sure. let's take a few questions, Mr. Moon. I can see that the box is hot, so people want to ask Garrett some stuff. Ehrlich Bachman asking, Garrett, what advantages do you see in combining the stability of gold with the technological innovation of the BSV blockchain?
That's a great question, and that's actually what brought me to today is I really think that the performance, the way that the BSV was created, the original Satoshi's vision, micropayments, gold is always hard to make as money. Always has been, always will be. You can't move a bar of gold for $64,000. You can't move it to your car dealership and buy a car with a block of gold. Yeah. But with blockchain and Troy Money app and tokenized, we can actually walk into any car dealership, sign them up for a Troy Money app, and pay with gold. And that guy, before he even delivers a car, can turn it into USD in a heartbeat. And so you get to use it as a currency. So by combining all these great technologies together, you provide a solution, and an all-in-one solution, and nobody has to go looking for it. It just works. And as long as it works, people don't care what chain it's on. The real world people don't care if it's they don't care about all the BSV, Bitcoin. They don't care about that. They just want it works. And they won't even know they're dealing with a blockchain, frankly, if it works right.
Yep. Beautiful. Next question, please, Mr. Moon. Question, why gold? Why not other commodities? Do you have other commodities in mind to tokenize in the future?
It's funny. You and I talked about this 2 weeks ago. We will be rolling out silver, platinum, palladium for precious metals as money series. Those are the four liquid precious metals that all have use case. They all have increasing values. They all have appreciation values and real world uses. So those four commodities will roll out. And we're actually, you know, with our partners, we're actually looking at potentially having oil, Troy oil. So you can own 10 barrels of oil and you can have $700 worth of oil and you can catch the upside or the downside. So it rolls into commodities. Can be, as long as they're liquid commodities traded on the COMEX or the London Metals Exchange or some other very liquid exchange, we can actually integrate them into the blockchain.
And that's incredible.
They can be used as money. So it's going to go further. Mm-hmm. It's going to go further as we go, including opportunities to use gold and then get an interest rate or and use your gold for settlements, lending it out and actually have a coupon attached to the gold, which puts it into a security, which will be rolled out down the road.
Sure. Is this something where we have to work with your company or do people have the opportunity to maybe issue something themselves or like what is the exact relationship between the tech and the business entity?
Right now, it's an in-house Troy Money with tokenized for our offerings. I mean, anybody can tokenize anything, as we've seen around the world. Anybody
can
tokenize anything. But right now, it's a proprietary system all the way through. And then we will be rolling out offerings, different type of offerings under the Troy Money banner within the ecosystem that we create.
Nice. Question from Chris Messina. Christopher, who is providing the custodial service?
So Brinks, all gold will be held at Brinks in Zurich or New York, and they're the most trusted. So as this was a good comment in Peter Schiff's conference, when you connect real-world assets with the blockchain, you need trusted counterparties. You have to trust somebody. I mean, not everybody. But you have to trust somebody. So I've teamed up with both StoneX Group, which is a Fortune 100 company, $5 billion NASDAQ company, one of the largest global commodities traders in the world. Mm-hmm. They're our facilitator and our access to liquidity. And then we have Brinks holding all the vaulted gold, all the serial number, good delivery bars in Brinks that will be held. So if you know, somebody asked a question on Twitter today, what happens if we go under? Well, StoneX didn't go under and Brinks didn't go under and your gold's still there.
Yep. Incredible. All right. We're at 2:30. I think PR is going out as we speak. So Garrett, What's the news? What are we breaking here? I'll let you say it, and then we can talk about that.
Okay, so as our Troy Money platform has developed, along with our new business relationship with Tokenized for tokenizing real world securities on BSV, and having exchanges and having real stuff, we noticed the need for stable coins. We noticed the need for customers onboarding in multiple currencies. We accept 6 right now, trade pairs with gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. So we're going to launch our company, Troy Stablecoin Partners, and we're going to add USD and Euro immediate stablecoins to our Troy Money platform. And I know there's a lot of people talking about BSV stablecoins, and that's fine, but we're creating them for our use case, for our purpose, because we will roll out the digital payment system. We will roll out. So if you're using gold as money and you want to flip to USD and somebody doesn't want to take the gold, but they want USD, you can just toggle back and you can pay in USD through the Troy Money app. So the use case for us is not to become the staking USDC competitor. The use case for to power Troy Money onboarding and offboarding in currency in fiat, and to power the booming $16 trillion securities on the blockchain, which we hope tokenize and BSV gets a piece of. So stable coins are very important for those use cases as a tool, and also as a business. A lot of the BSV apps are looking for stable coins too. There's probably more coming, but we will be able to offer a nice, solid stablecoin with trusted counterparty risk, and deliver that solution on the Troy Money app very, very soon.
I actually think this is the most crucial thing. Even as far as tokens go on BSV, almost everybody is still primarily focusing on NFTs and the quote unquote fun stuff. But this is a problem that I don't think has been solved. I personally have gone through basically all the token protocols on BSV and agree that tokenized is almost certainly the best for scale and all kinds of reasons. But ultimately, issuing a stablecoin properly, I think tokenized is the best option by a pretty wide margin. But I also think that the problem with stablecoins traditionally is it's liquidity, it's trust. I think so. Even Tether is like the least trusted, right? Because,
right.
I mean, if anybody has a vague understanding of how crypto works, the issuant like Tether, Bitfinex, all the just how all this stuff works. I mean, the U.S. Attorney General's office has determined that they were running a fractional reserve. It's like all the problems of banking, plus all the problems of like weird international business, all tangled together, but people still go for it because it's liquid. And ultimately, the liquidity of Tether just attracts that it's like, I might need to settle $50 million, and so I'm just doing the business in Tether. So that's my thing. Now, we have PayPal announced yesterday that they're issuing a stablecoin on ETH. And, people are excited and blah, blah, blah. But what nobody could answer me, I reached out to PayPal. I reached out to them on Twitter. I tried to get to their press department. Like, what is it for? My question is consistently, are we paying for something for it, or is it just to use for trading crypto? Like, what's the purpose? Nobody got back to me, and I've yet to hear that. So I'm going to ask you the same question. The dollar or the euro, I think you said it's just those two to start.
To start, yeah.
What are they? Well, you said, yeah, I can switch dollars or gold or whatever based on the merchant, but what do you want to see happening with it in 6 months or a year? Do you want me buying Dunkin' Donuts coffee or anything else that I want? Or give me a view on your roadmap, please.
Well, first of all, anything built on Ethereum, you will never be able to use for micropayments. We've already covered that. So all those stable coins. And I think the real reason why Paxos and PayPal teamed up is there's an instability in the stablecoin market right now. With questionable people that are controlling the stable coins in the Binance world and even the Tether world being in Hong Kong based company, the laws. So I think they're just trying to poach the assets under management.
Yeah.
To continue that Ethereum based assets under management for staking and all the other things they use stable coins for. But our use of stable coins is more for actual using as money, so that the, you know, listen, when you settle something on chain, you can't wire them a US dollar bill. You can't send right. 20,000 US dollar bills. So you got to give them a stable coin that they can then request cash in for an ACH wires. I mean, you still have to use some of the payment rails. But if you're a merchant and you're paying Visa, MasterCard 3.75%, 30 cents a transaction, and you can take money USD instead for a quarter of a point and no real transaction fee, you're going to save a lot of money. So if we can get adoption from a Starbucks or a McDonald's or a Dunkin' Donuts where they see the value in actual stable coin that's used as real money, that they can actually get money from a U.S. Institution that's under U.S. laws, I think that would be a compelling sale to any merchant.
Yep. Well, and it's fascinating because I have talked about this now for years, and I keep telling the crypto people, because that's just kind of my community, hey, guys, this isn't that hard. You just kind of need to create a business and build it out and then get out there and sell. Like, where does the rubber hit the road for biz dev on getting Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks, you know, whoever else, right?
Right.
So I just want to point out that the way that you've gone about it, I mean, you've showed up, 6 months ago, basically, maybe even a little bit less. I think people have only known who you are in the BSV community for a few months here. But with the gumption and the vision and some ability to just essentially shut up and work, it seems like you have basically put together the thing that I've been calling for about 5 years now. Can I ask a little bit, like, what's your process like? What's your team like? Do you have like 50 guys working for you, or is it you and a couple of aces, or what's going on there?
How many miners can I count in Africa?
You tell me, man.
I've had my head down focusing on mining and building vast reserves minerals, because we are in a mining and metal super cycle right now, so it doesn't come around that often. So I've had my head down there, but yeah, you know what? I've really valued a partnership with James Belding and Tokenized, and some of their developers are phenomenal. We're kind of building Troy Money as a team effort to get a use case out for Tokenized as it has recently launched. I have hired actually a couple of the old Tokenized CTOs who's now become my CTO. So we are slowly developing a dev team in Australia that are all familiarized with BSV. Cool. And slowly but surely, we got to build a marketing team. We got to build out, you know, today we're interviewing lawyers. We're working on the legals, the final legals for the stable coins, for gold as money, money transmitter licenses. There's a lot going on in the background. A lot of consultants are working. We don't have a big team of employees yet, but I'm assuming that over the next 6 months, that's going to grow quite drastically to achieve the goals we have in mind.
Incredible. Let's take a few more audience questions, Mr. Moon. Let's pull up some favorites. I see the box is hot. Here, my favorite meme account. How does Troy Stablecoin compete with the Swiss-based Centi? I think it was a Swiss franc is issued on the Stas protocol. Did you do any due diligence on that? What are your thoughts on that?
I read their white paper. I mean, listen, I didn't really open in a wallet or anything, but I know the guys there. Good stable coin. If it works, it works. Like, there's going to be many competitors issuing stable coins on on Tokenized. And that's okay because there's a lot of business out there. And maybe, you know, we all get together. I'm inviting everybody to come, and since we're launching, you know, the wallets and all the wallets, I invite them to join us and become part of one stable coin. Yep. But if other people want to issue other stable coins for their own use cases, I'm not really that worried about competition.
Sure.
Because we have our own reasons for a stable coin. And we will present our use case. We will present our app up against anybody else's app and let the competition win. That's how I believe it. It's all about let the best app, the best use case win. And the other ones won't lose either. So, you know, they all have use cases.
Yeah. Now, that's an abundance mindset that I think really matters. And also, I think a lot of people underestimate how easy it is actually to reissue tokens. So if you're using the Chenti Franc in your economy, and then you want to make your way over to the Troy-based economy, you can literally just wrap tokens. Like, this is just like a handshake agreement between people, because the technicals are not difficult. So if you can make a business agreement, we can all sort of participate, you know, ordinals and any Stas token, any tokenized token, like these things can interact with each other. The limitation is people, not tech. So
they're all just different assets, and yep. Whether different asset of fiat stablecoin, or they're different asset of a piece of real estate, or a different asset of gold or silver, you know, it is just a different asset. And it, you know, people, investors have to look at counterparty risk, usability, and the use case for what they're using it for. And a wallet operating in BSV can handle more than one currency. They don't have to be just on CHVs, Sente. They can have more than one currency inside their wallet and let the users decide. Boats, with a success of BSV, all boats rise, everybody will win.
Yeah, for sure. Here's a good question. Nelson Bighetti, could you delve into the technical details of how the gold backing is insured and verified on the BSV blockchain? What mechanisms are in place to maintain transparency and security?
So it's a good question. And these are questions that are going to be answered over the next 30 days as we roll it out. But I'll give you highlights. First of all, Brink's has never lost any gold in their history. They're insured by Lloyd's of London. Their vaults are the safest in the world. Their laws of New York and Zurich are the safest laws in the world for holding precious metals. The gold never leaves. It's always there. So whatever the counterparty risk happens, the gold is always there and tied to the token holders. So having also StoneX on our team, which is a very big company that handles the liquidity and the trading and the movement and the... they've been around 180 years or something like that, and they're a Fortune 100 company. So you're tied to the counterparty risk. And as an investor holding a gold token, you got to look at the counterparty risk, and you compare, okay, if I hold Tether, or what's my counterparty risk being the laws of Hong Kong, where the Chinese government's basically in control of the gold. You don't think they can shut that down in a heartbeat? Maybe right. not. Yeah. How do you fight back? So, you know, counterparty risk is everything, and it's number one. So look at counterparty risk, look at who we're dealing with, look at our partners, look at our infrastructure. The blockchain and the ownership part of BSV and tokenized, that just gives you ownership. The smart contract gives you claim to that gold in the vault. And if you have claim to that gold in the vault, a court of law, a decent court of law, will give you the backing that you need if something should go wrong.
Yep. Well, and I think this is kind of a crypto culture thing. This like, it's trustless, right? And I think it's more of a meme than anything. And I've said this about decentralization too. Like, decentralization doesn't actually exist in the form that people think that it does. Same with trustlessness. Everybody, you know, you get the sort of buzzword version of it. We can read three sentences and some bullet points and marketing, and you can listen to podcasts where people talk for hours on end about trustlessness and decentralization. But ultimately, what you're actually getting down to is you have to trust somebody. Like, nothing works in a vacuum, and nothing is perfect. And so we have seen, even Bitcoin itself, people say, Bitcoin's never been down. It's like, no, it's been down twice. It happened in 2010, it happened in 2013. And here's what happened. Here's what we learned from it. You know, like, there's all kinds of things there. And you get people who are new to Bitcoin and have been told it's impenetrable, it's open source, and there's all the, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, no, let's just talk about the two times that it actually fell apart. And what did we do to fix it? And when it was it fixed sufficiently that it won't happen again? And ultimately, it's about probabilities, and it's about getting infinitesimally close to perfect. But who here has a perfect business and a perfect track record and whatever else, right? So I always think that it's very funny. Now, I think it's a completely fair question to say, hey, where's my gold, right? But I think you'll get those people that will just never, I mean, just 100% never trust anything more than, you know, $50 in somebody else's hands. And that's okay. But like you said, when you bring up Lloyd's of London and, you know, some of these companies. I mean, how old is Lloyd's of London? Are they like a 700 or 800 year old company or something like that? And again, not perfect, but if the royalty of the medieval era all the way to, you know, luxury item people today can call Lloyd's and say, hey, how much to insure this thing and get that deal done, like, that's just real business. It's about risk mitigation, not perfection. And I think people, especially in the crypto space, need to realize, hey, real business, real trust, you know, these things are, you know, they happen on a continuum. They're not about perfection. And trying to get to perfection is, yeah, you know.
Somebody in business, I mean, if you put money in the bank, okay, your first $250,000, you're trusting the U.S. government to pay you, okay? Yeah. $36 trillion in debt company that may be junk status in future. Anything over $250,000, you're trusting the management of the bank to invest properly, okay? You know, we saw what happened in many banks, and there's probably many more. There's no liquidity. There's some presidential candidates out there that are saying our banks are insolvent. And they're boasting about, you know, these are real world problems. So you want to talk about risking gold at Brinks? I'll put all my money into gold at Brinks before I'd put all my money into any bank in the United States of America, and or into the Treasury bills of the United States of America. By the time you cash them, you're down 25%. So you know, trust is everything, and trusting, you know, you can only pick the best counterparties, and that's what our company is all about, finding the number one counterparty risks in the world to trust so that our users can trust, and the best law in the world so our users can trust whatever government you have to trust to lay claim on your assets.
Yep.
And if we do that, yeah, some people say, hey, I'll never trust my gold in a vault. Okay, well, then put it in your house.
Right.
And let it sit there. That's fine. I know many people with bars of gold in their house, and that's fine.
Yep.
Try to get that gold liquid again. Try to get that sold. Try to, you know, so problems there. You got to trust your own house to be safe, too, from a robber that knows you have bars of gold in the house. So nothing's perfect. You try for the perfect scenario of trust. You try to find the best partners of trust, and you run with it, and it's not going to be the solution for everybody.
Yeah, for sure. Let's burn through a few more of these questions, Mr. Sure. Moon. We've got about 12 minutes here, and a lot of people with a lot of stuff they want to bounce off of Mr. Krause here. What's the minimum withdraw of gold? So what can we settle? Is there a practical minimum or?
No, because we have an API directly to the spot markets where we can I can sell as little as an ounce or half ounce of gold. So, you know, there's not really a minimum, although, you know, selling a fraction, $10 worth of gold is a minimum, but we will have our own counter reserves for smaller amounts and cash reserves to cover smaller amounts. But, you know, we can buy an ounce of gold for you tomorrow. And you can own an ounce of gold. You can own $50 worth of gold. You can own $100 worth of gold every day if you want to buy every month. It's not about being a big, big investor. It's just somebody that wants to put their money in a gold can, and they can get their money out at any time.
Cool. Joey Two Guns, one of my buddies here from Florida, asking, can I purchase BSV outright on the Troy Money app?
Working on it, yes. We're working on access to BSV so people can buy BSV so they can use that to buy any of the stable coins, or they can transfer BSV and buy gold with BSV. They can buy stable coin with BSV. We're working on all those different pairings and all those different structures. I don't have the details today, but definitely one of the things that I want to promote, because now that I'm a big builder on BSV and I'm invested in BSV infrastructure, obviously, I want to promote the BSV crypto because you need it to run the chain. Although people that transact on Troy Money won't even know they're operating with BSV in the background. We will have it to the point where it's silent in the background, but it's fueling the whole system.
Beautiful. Love it. How did you come across James Belding and Tokenize? This is my, I asked you when I met, like, well, James lives, what, 10,000 miles away. So how'd you bump into that guy?
I actually saw him on a panel on the London Blockchain Conference. And okay. I reached out to the interesting panelists, and I was doing all my education on BSV. I was tokenizing gold on a chain called Polymesh, which is a Ethereum kind of security token. And I wasn't planning on using it as money. I was just using it as a record. It's kind of a record of ownership. Hmm. But when I saw some of the things and I saw what could be done, I was already working with Stellar. I was trying to do it on Stellar. I was trying to look at some of the things, and I didn't know much about BSV. So for about four to six weeks, I literally watched every podcast, everything on Craig Wright, everything on CoinGeek, everything I could find. And I asked James, we would talk for 2-3 hours a day, and I just grilled him under research. What is the forks? What is BCH? What is Bitcoin? What is BSV? Because literally I had no knowledge on how this all came. Yeah. Only people would tell me is, oh, BSV has controversy. It's a fraud. It's bad. And those people all came from, I call them the chain cults, the other side, whatever it was.
Yeah, it's a good name.
But I didn't listen to all that. I went straight for research. And that's how I learned about it. And James stepped up, and he was in perfect timing for him. And he says, I'll do the gold. Let's do it. Let's launch. And so we had a meeting of minds very early. And still today, every time we talk, we brainstorm, we bounce off each other how to grow the ecosystem of Tokenized, and how he can help me and how I can help him, and how we can bring new players to the BSV ecosystem. That's our goal. Bring new players, not the existing players. Bring new players, bring new money, bring new entrants to BSV and educate them.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been telling people for years, if you're ever curious about like how to get started, how should I issue a real business asset on a blockchain? Tokenize has incredible documentation, even just for free on their website, for people that want to get started and kind of get an overview on what the actual process is for issuing securities or any of that kind of thing. Tons of like contract templates. It's a really, really good place to start. But how do you feel? Like, are you looking for anybody to consult? For example, like if you had another guy in a similar situation saying, hey, I'd really like to put my thing. Are you looking for more people to sort of integrate into your the Troy Money trading platform or any of that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So, you know, WorldVest is our private holding company and our investment company. And we've, as of last week, we did a new initiative to make investments in Tokenize, take a position to help with the real world assets, launch this program, this technology around the world. And so we'll be building up an ecosystem of lawyers and consultants and other players in the tokenization of real world assets space. We'll be hopefully getting some people from the other side of the chains to give BSV, give tokenized BSV a real look as a viable alternative solution, like I did when I came from Ethereum and Polymath and Polymesh and Stellar. I looked at all those chains. I couldn't find what I was exactly wanting. I found BSV. So if I find it, I now can hopefully introduce it to other players like me.
For sure.
No idea what options, what they can build on it.
Beautiful. Let's bang out more questions. Garrett, could you comment on eGold and Gold Money, the pre-millennia digitized gold companies? What went right or wrong there? This is a good question. Jack Pitts is like another guy you should actually meet. Old school Wall Street guy. a lot of experience with a lot of nonsense.
Happy for anybody to DM me. And also, Kurt, you can post our Troy Money Telegram group in your Twitter feed after. So people join. We have a very open conversation. There's 145 people in there now and growing. And it's open. And I'm there all the time. And I'm answering questions 24 hours a day. So that's also a very good group for people to join to get information and updates. But I honestly don't really know much about the old gold stuff. I was trading iron ore back then. I didn't care about anything. I was one of the largest iron ore traders in Mexico. So I really don't really have anything to comment on it. I'm only using common sense based on my real world application for my current gold trading market, my exporting company out of Africa. And I just put this together because I wanted to go to gold as an investor. I don't have any USD to my name. I went to gold. My friends wanted to go to gold. Everybody I knew wanted to go to gold. So now Troy Money, everybody in the world can go to gold on Troy Money, and we can build this out as a community.
Awesome. Next question. Messy time. This is Christopher Messina, who the reason he's asking this, Christopher mines in Greenland, asking, does Garrett want to get involved with a rare earths backed NFT or stable coin?
I don't think I would do NFT, because a rare earth backed anything is a security token. So we could tokenize on with tokenized on BSV. We could create a real life security token. And some of the future infrastructure we're working with will be a complete BSV security token exchange, all working hand in hand with tokenized. So that's the future of raising money, managing your cap table, managing your investors by using the ecosystem that we're currently building out in partnership with tokenized.
For sure. Now, I'll have to make a connection. You and Christopher should definitely talk shop and all kinds of stuff. I'm sure you guys would get along great. Alex Vidal asking, given the regulatory landscape surrounding both cryptocurrencies and precious metals, how have you navigated the legal challenges and compliance issues? You just brought up, the NFT's got security problems. Like, what is your process, frankly?
I come from a regulated background, so everything is a security. I believe that from day one. That's why I never traded mineral coin on Ethereum, because that would have led me probably to an orange jumpsuit, and I don't have the political connections to get out of it. So I kind of stay away from illegal trading of a coin that has no regulations around it. So yes, we are navigating those challenges today. We're talking with lawyers all week. We are interviewing lawyers to help us with all this, and we will do it in a compliant, regulated manner no matter what.
Brilliant. Next one, Mr. Moon, we got about 2.5 minutes here. Have you collaborated with any gold suppliers, financial institutions, or any other key players in the precious metals industry to facilitate the launch of this token?
Okay, this is interesting. So my partnership with StoneX goes back many years regarding to my gold export and my global physical export trading. So I have access through them to hundreds of billions of dollars worth of gold in their vaults at Brinks. So I don't need suppliers. I don't need anything. I have direct access to the gold at spot as much as I need. If you come in with $1 billion today, I can have you in gold in 10 minutes owning $1 billion at spot. You know, obviously there are certain market conditions to volume, but I do not need gold dealers. I don't even need to go find gold. It's already there. Already good delivery bars. The other thing that's very important to point out, we do not need crypto exchanges for liquidity. We are not a crypto. We do not need to trade. We will not list this token on anything, because our liquidity comes from the COMEX, from various spot markets around the world through StoneX. So we do not need crypto community liquidity to get you liquid on your gold, which is very important.
That's crucial, yeah.
Important, crucial, because we're betting on the second most traded commodity in the world, and that's the only liquidity we need.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, I don't want to show up and buy $5,000, and I push the spot price up 50% because there's no volume.
Yeah, won't happen. Sure. We'll never be able to outlive the spot. Will always be there.
Yeah, beautiful. Ehrlich again. How can this initiative address concerns about volatility that are often associated with crypto and blockchain? I think you just answered it, frankly.
Yeah, we're not crypto. We're a blockchain-based ownership token where you can know that your gold is owned by you. And so not being a crypto is our, or Bitcoin or anything. We don't have to rely on those kinds of exchanges. We don't even have to be listed.
This is great. Are there any specific smart contract functionalities or features unique to BSV that enable the creation and management of gold-backed tokens? I think maybe I'll take this one. I think any blockchain, basically, they all do the same thing, right? They write data to a distributed ledger. The question is how much can they do? Like, how much volume can it be? Can the network handle? And then at what price can it handle that volume? Ultimately, there's everything else is going to be trimmings and inside baseball, unfortunately. But that's where people like to stick when we're all protocol nerds. But in BSV, you have exponentially more volume capability, and you have a predictably low price regardless of volume. And that's really the unique selling feature. And there's also the flexibility that a company like Tokenized, which created their own protocol and these kind of things, like Tokenized could not be built on any other blockchain because there's just limitations, and they're arbitrary limitations on every other blockchain. And so BSV really has just said, you know what, let's just open up the floodgates and see what kind of interesting people show up to work in an unbounded economy. And I think that's it. What, do you have anything to add to that, Garrett?
You know what? You answered the question perfectly. and it's true. You're right. We got a perfect storm here. We've got the world in flux. We got geopolitical risks. We got fiat. We got high inflation. We got fiat risks. We got government risks. We got CBDCs coming in, which some people are afraid of for control. And basically, Troy Money is a private monetary system globally that does not rely on government, does not rely on banks as much as possible, and gold can actually be the monetary system. So, and then marrying that together with BSV, the power of BSV, as you just said, the micropayments, the cost, the economics, the power, and then a protocol like Tokenized, which is by far more advanced and can only be working on BSV. We got a perfect storm that hopefully will vault Troy Money into hopefully unicorn status, maybe, and global adoption and transactions around the world and more companies accepting gold as payment. Competing with BRICS. What is BRICS doing? You just can't trust the governments behind BRICS, but that's what they're doing. The gold back standard coin and use it, except for you got that one problem, the laws and the governments that are backing it.
Yep. Yeah. You can say, should I trust China, Brazil, Russia, India, or should we trust the oldest gold economy in the world? So
Correct.
Love it. All right. We're over time. It felt like a short one because I think this was a pretty damn good show, Mr. Krause.
Thank you very much for having me. And thanks to the BSV community that has kind of adopted me. And I'm always available to answer your questions.
Beautiful. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Take care. All right, everybody. This has been yet another CoinGeek Weekly live stream. Garrett Krause is a local. So I keep telling you, move to Florida. I know the economy, the housing market got a little rough since I started saying move to Florida, but I promise you, if you want to get involved in the economy being built in the BSV ecosystem, there's only a few hot spots around the earth. And frankly, Florida's the hottest one. So come down, come and play. Garrett does come out to our meetups and stuff too. So we've been very happy to get to know him. Good to have more people coming down to the South Florida Bitcoin Citadel. And it has been a delight for me to share this with you. So thanks for watching, everybody. If you could, again, like, subscribe, hit the alert bell, and let everybody know that we are out here changing the world with our little media empire that we intend to grow bigger than you can even imagine. So everybody, I'm Kurt Wooker Jr. reminding you, be good to each other, and go work hard. Enjoy the rest of your week. Goodbye.
BuyBSV.com, a quick and simple way to buy Bitcoin SV. It does exactly what it says.